First, I'd like to introduce Saul Landau from the Institute for Policy Studies. He's a fellow author of Assassination on Embassy Row and an award-winning film producer of over 40 films on social, political, and historical issues and worldwide human rights. Thank you, Saul.
Thank you. I'd like to try to answer Wayne Smith's question. Why? I have another take on Bush's logic. I think that there is a logic when, on September 11th, he said, we'll make no distinction between those who committed the acts and those who harbor them. Now think about that. He hasn't gone after the people who did the acts. He went after Iraq. And he hasn't gone after the people who've harbored the people who did the acts. He went after Iraq. And now he's going to go after Iran. So there's a logic to it. There's another logic. Remember he said, to explain why the Twin Towers were hit, he said, they hate us because we're free. And then he proceeded to strip away our freedoms. So presumably, they now hate us less. I think, though, that there are more of them and they hate us more. Somebody should do a count. There's an interesting story, you know, I mean, we've heard a lot of the terrorism stories. I'd like to read, tell you one that's interesting, because this is one that's barely known. Everybody knows about Luis Posada. He was a real monster. There's a story also where he tried to assassinate Fidel Castro in Chile, where he got the CIA to put a gun inside of a camera. And they hired two Venezuelan hitmen to go to Fidel's press conference when he went to Chile in 1971. And they had two cameras. One was a regular news camera, an Aeroflex, and the other one was the lethal camera made by the CIA. And of course, the two cameramen got Fidel in their sights, and then they looked around the room and they saw there was no way out. So they chickened out. Posada got quite desperate, and he sent the camera back to Caracas because Fidel was going to stop there on his way home to Cuba. And he hired two more hitmen, and they didn't show up that day. So Posada has always been one step behind, but he did get your brother, and he's killed other people. I want to warn you that there really isn't any evidence that he was in on the Letelier killing. So we should be careful about that. So I want to caution you. Pinochet did that. And he did it with a group of anti-Castro Cubans, one of whom was Guillermo Novo, who was Posada's co-conspirator in another plot to kill Fidel Castro. But after investigating this case now for almost 30 years, I've not come across any evidence to show that Luis Posada or the other monster, Orlando Bosch, were involved. But there's another case. Let me read this to you, because this is funny, and it reflects directly on Bush himself. May 20th, 2002, the Secret Service allowed Sixto Reynaldo Acuit Manrique, a.k.a. El Chino Acuit, to sit a few rows behind President Bush on the platform as he spoke in Miami. Now, the president's detail knew that on November 2nd, 1994, the FBI's anti-terrorism squad had nailed Acuit after he and two colleagues had pulled up to the Southwest Dade warehouse armed with 10 gallons of gas and a loaded semi-automatic handgun. In the Miami Herald on November 10th, 1994, the story says, cites police, and it says, the men smashed a window and tried to get inside just before the officers moved in. Now, a Florida court sentenced Acquit to 5 years in prison, but then without any explanation, the government accepted Acquit's guilty plea on a misdemeanor charge, which allowed him to skip prison, and he spent less than 2 years under house supervision. The government went soft on a man with a clear record of terrorism, and you really don't need Sherlock Holmes to find the reason. Acquit's terrorism was known as patriotic zeal. He was a good terrorist because he belonged to, and this is the real name, the Secret Armed Army. There's a certain rhythm to the redundancy. This was an anti-Castro group that advocates violence as the only way to effect change in Cuba. A year before this, Acquit had fired a 50 caliber machine gun at a Cypriot tanker in Cuban waters. He had gone over there and shot at a foreign ship. So the good terrorist can sit close to the president without contradicting Bush's new security rules. And recall, it's September 20th, 2001. Either you're with us or you're with terrorists. Well, trying to sink a cargo ship and burn down a warehouse doesn't constitute terrorism if you do it with anti-Castro intentions. Now imagine if his name had been Abu Rinaldo Acquit and he had tried to sit near the president. What would the Secret Service have done? I think this is pretty obvious to everybody. If you go back on hijacking, where did it start? Hijacking airplanes began on January 1st, 1959, when Batista's gangsters hijacked planes and flew them with impunity to the United States. Anti-Castro Cubans have been flying, hijacking planes from that day on. Only when people started hijacking planes in the United States and flying them to Cuba in the late 1960s did the United States get upset. And the Cubans said, okay, let's stop it. Let's get a treaty. And the Americans at that time did so. Well, was it 2005 that a plane was hijacked from Cuba to Miami? The guy got off and said, freedom at last. Nothing happened to him. All right, what's the lesson? The lesson is, I think, as Wayne said, the policy is irrational, and the people who make irrational policies are irrational. How else to put it? A diplomat told me the following story, a very high-level diplomat who met with Mr. Negroponte while he was ambassador to the United Nations. The man said, why don't you reestablish relations with Iran? They want relations. This was when Khatami was president. And the man said, we'll never establish relations with the government of Iran or with the government of Cuba because they humiliated us. And he said, well, what would you have them do? And he says, they must surrender. I was thinking, you know, Fidel could offer to stop punching the United States in the fist with his face. About a year ago, a former Assistant Secretary of State, I won't mention his name, said, I'm getting tired of the Americans making all of the overtures to Cuba. Why don't the Cubans ever make overtures to us? And I reminded him, I said, well, Che Guevara had made such an overture in 1961. He said, well, cut our military ties with the Soviets, we'll stop exporting revolution, and we will compensate the U.S. companies that we expropriated. That sounded like the offer, that all-encompassing offer. And this was made to Mr. Kennedy's aide, Richard Goodwin. And Goodwin went back and told Kennedy, who was smoking one of the cigars that Che had given him. In fact, Kennedy said, you know, Goodwin, you should have smoked the first one. Referring to, of course, that one of the assassination plots was to poison one of Fidel's cigars. And Goodwin told Kennedy the story, and Kennedy said, well, it sounds like weakness. Let's turn up the heat. And the heat was turned up in the form of several thousand terrorist assaults on Cuba. That's when, you know, essentially they invented terrorism. Well, what do you do about this? These five guys came to fight terrorism, and the U.S. administration, both Clinton and Bush, showed what their interests are. They're not interested in it. So we've got to help spring them. We've got to keep up the pressure. We've got to get these rascals out. This administration is beyond irrational. I think everybody's got to press members of Congress to look at this case, look hard at it, and do something about it. And remember that Congress did lift the travel ban twice, only to have it undone somehow, mysteriously, in conference committee, whatever that is. Anybody read the Constitution and found conference committee? Keep active on the streets. That's where you're visible. You know, in the Letelier case, Francisco talked about after 30 years, a small measure of justice was accomplished. Because once a terrible injustice is done, you can't ever make it right. But a small measure of justice. And in this case, an injustice has been committed, and now that measure of justice has to be to get these people back. And the only way you do it is you just don't give up. Thank you.